So we just give it a few minutes while we just set everything up.
How's people?
I'm ready to start.
Good.
Turn on mic.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Hope everyone is still able to smile and take pleasure in their everyday lockdown lives. Let us begin our service with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we dedicate this morning to you. You're the life giver and your way of life is one of abundance. May your spirit work within us and stir up a passion for your words and your ways. Breathe life into us so that we may be your presence to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So during lockdown, I've definitely appreciated the time together we spend on Sundays as a break from the monotony to be able to worship our Lord together. When two or more gather in his name, Jesus promises his presence among us. So let us sing and worship him together. Our first song is Still.
King over
His presence. Stillness does not become boredom, nor does it represent being stuck in a rut. In His presence, stillness is a peace that transcends understanding. If that is the stillness you're looking for in your life, ask Jesus for it. Call on His name and ask to be in His presence.
Majestic is Your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth.
Final song for this morning is Praise the Father, Praise the Son.
Before the
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this time we were able to just be with each other, even if remotely, to just sing and share your praises. Lord, may your name be glorified through our mouths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture passage comes from Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Cool. So now I'd like to pass the time over to Pastor Jonathan, and he'll continue our series in Luke.
Well, morning, everyone. Great. So just a note about using Zoom. When I'm sharing screen, if you would like to see more of me and less of the screen, you can switch it to side-by-side view, and then there is a bar that comes up that you can like adjust. So that's an option if you would like, if you're on a computer. So did I make the right decision? This is a question that I ask myself all the time. Did I make the right choice? Am I doing the right thing? And these are questions, I think, that we ask ourselves oftentimes when we have a big decision to make. Is this the right house to buy? Is this the right person to date? Are these the right subjects to take? Is this the right job for me? And left to our own devices, we try our best to work through these decisions rationally. Right, for example, if we're buying a house, we ask questions like, is this neighborhood safe? Are there problems with the house? What's the house market like at this point in time? And so on. I have a friend who does this with all of his big decisions. He gets out his refill, draws up two columns, pros and cons, and he studiously lists out as many pros and cons as he can think of to compare them. And this is a great way to systematically compare the outcomes of a big decision, to rationally evaluate what decision to make. Now, today's scripture is about making decisions. Remember what I've mentioned about the synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and how they have three arcs to them. Well, if you look at just a few verses before where we read from today, back in verse 51, and I'll show you. So this is just a regular NIV Bible. But if you open the page to right there, there is this line break right here between verses 50 and 51. Now, even at the start of a new chapter, for example, there is no new break, but right here there is one. And that line break there let me get my screen share back up. Wrong thing. That line break is the start of that second arc. I am having trouble with technology. So everything we've looked at in Luke up to this point was Jesus's ministry in Galilee, in the northern parts of Israel. And that was the first arc. So verse 51, where just after that line break, it reads, as the time approached, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And so having finished his ministry in Galilee, Jesus sets out for Jerusalem. And the teachings that he taught on this journey, that is what makes up the bulk of this second arc. Now, why is this important? Because today's passage comes right at the start of when Jesus sets out on his journey. Right? The context of a passage matters. As Jesus is leaving for Jerusalem, we have this encounter that Caleb read out for us today with three people who either Jesus says, follow me to, or the person says, I will follow you to Jesus. And this was a big decision for people to make. If Jesus was here today and out of the blue, he said, I've decided to go to Hamilton, for example, would you be willing to just pack your bags and go with him? Now, most of us here have decided to follow Jesus. And following Jesus means that there will come times when we have to make certain decisions, when he calls us to do something or go somewhere. And the challenge set out in today's passage is this. Are you prepared to say yes when Jesus calls? Are you prepared to say yes? These three encounters in our scripture today challenge us in three different ways. The first challenges us by asking the question, what is the source of your security? The second challenges us by asking, what is your priority? And the third asks us a simple question. Do you trust me? And so the first, what is your source of security? Security and stability are the bedrock of our decision-making. The person says this to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replies, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. If you follow me, Jesus says, there is no guarantee that you will even have a place to sleep. For us today, and honestly for them as well, for people back in the first century, money, financial security and stability is probably the most important thing to consider. The reality is, to live in today's world, you need a certain amount of income. We need to be responsible, sensible. We want to make sure we're not a burden for other people. And so, of course, when we make big decisions, we do our best to make sure that we are being financially sensible. We buy houses that are, at the very least, not going to lose value. We try our best to find a stable job that has opportunities for career progression. If we want to start a family, we ask the question, can we support a kid or two or 10? Almost every decision ultimately comes down to money in some way. Now, this is a perfectly normal and reasonable thing to do. We should be asking these questions. We are called to steward what we have well. And by that, I mean to be responsible with the things that God has entrusted each of us with. Pay attention to that metaphor. We are stewards. These are things God has entrusted to us, but ultimately, they belong to Him. The problem comes if our security is placed in the things that we have rather than the one who gave them to us in the first place. This was the rebuke that Jesus had for some of the Pharisees. Do you remember this? You cannot love both God and money, he said. The truth is, if your source of security is in your material possessions or your abilities or your financial stability, it's very hard to realize your need for God because you already have everything you feel you need. The challenge here in Jesus's reply, right, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, is asking us, are you prepared to say yes, even if it means losing your sense of security? It's not that you aren't looked after, right? It's letting go of the trust in what you have and putting it in God. It's like Peter stepping out of the boat onto the waves. The boat was a source of security in the middle of the sea. But Jesus, walking on the water, says, come, let go of the safety of that boat that you can see and touch and feel, and trust in me. Walk to me on the waves. I am here for you. Put your trust in me. And this is the lesson to take away from this first encounter. And this is a lesson that I have been learning for the last 3 years. This can sound a little bit like a humble brag, but I really do mean this. And it really is something that is still a big thing for me. When I started out doing this, what I do today, I knew that I would be taking a hit to my income. And I've had people tell me that they respect me for that, and I am genuinely humbled by that. But in the back of my mind, I just couldn't shake the feeling that I knew, for whatever reason, if this didn't work out, that I have the skills and abilities to go back to what I used to do and pick up a stable income again. And so my skills and abilities were my safety net. And that was a source of security for me. And even though I know it shouldn't be, it still is lingering in the back of my mind. This challenge is a big one for me. When I examine myself honestly, I find that my source of security is at least partially in what I have and what I can do. And I still don't know how I might respond if I were to lose that sense of security. And so the challenge in this one verse is huge. Are you prepared to say yes to Jesus, even if it means getting out of that boat, letting go of your tangible source of security, and putting it in Him? It's a huge challenge. And now the second challenge is a challenge to our priorities. He, Jesus, said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. First, let me go. This was a yes, but a yes with a caveat. This was a conditional yes, a yes, but. When we make decisions, there will always come a point when we have to choose between two alternatives. Economists call this opportunity cost, right? When you choose one thing, you give up the option of having the alternative. When we make those decisions, it reveals our priorities. In truth, a yes, but is not a yes. First, let me go do X means that X, whatever that is more important to you right now. That's the meaning of first, right? You're putting X first. Now, those other things could be genuinely important things. In this case, the man wanted to show his father, who had passed away, the proper honor and respect. There was good reason, probably, for him to go and do that first. And you'll see in all of these examples today that there is a sense of hyperbole in Jesus's responses. All of the objections that are given are somewhat reasonable. We need to be sensible with our positions. We need to honor our social obligations, right? Imagine if you didn't show up to a family member's funeral. But the challenge here is, if God calls you to something and he tells you, now is the time. This is more important right now. Can you trust him in that? Let me give you a much more milder example. My daily quiet time. I am convinced that every morning, God calls me to spend time with him. Pray, read my Bible, contemplate, pray some more, and then head out into my day. Now, it sounds like a lot, but honestly, it doesn't have to be long. 10 minutes on an average day. That's time that you can squeeze into any morning. But every now and then, I get up in the morning and it's just a little bit later than usual. So I run out of time and I say, okay, this is before lockdowns. I'll do it in the car. But of course, when you're driving in rush hour traffic, you can't concentrate on God. You have to concentrate on the road. And so I listen to some music or a podcast instead. I get to the office, I start work, and it's lunchtime. I say, okay, let's have quiet time over lunch. But someone else shows up, we start chatting, and before you know it, lunch is over. So I go back to work. Work finishes on the way home, same as the morning. You have to concentrate on the driving. Get home, make dinner, eat dinner. MasterChef is on. So you watch it, and before you know it, it's time for bed. I'm too tired to read my Bible. And so the last thing I say before I close my eyes, I'll do my quiet time tomorrow morning. What does that show about my priorities? Somehow, everything that happens during my day ends up being more important than my quiet time. This is the epitome of yes, but first let me. One of the things we do as a community is to hold each other accountable. And a lot of us are part of accountability groups. These sorts of decisions, these goals and priorities that we've set for ourselves, are ones that are very practical for us to hold each other accountable to. Yes, those other things were important, maybe not MasterChef, But were they really more important than God's prompting and his calling? No. This second encounter in the scripture passage today is a challenge to our priorities. It asks us the question, are you prepared to put God first and let yourself be held accountable to that decision? Again, this is a big challenge. Now, finally, the third challenge. It's a challenge of your faith in God. Still another person said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my parents, to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Wow. That's intense. Now, to be fair, I don't think this is normative. And by that, what I mean is, I think like in the previous example, there is a bit of hyperbole here. Jesus isn't saying, cut your ties, burn your bridges with your family, right? That would be very out of character for him. Rather, Jesus is saying that by following him, you might find that there is an element of sacrifice, that you might have to take a leap of faith at some point, so to speak. Let's look at an Old Testament story that this encounter is probably referring to. Now, the story is in 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is the calling of Elisha. The context for this encounter is Elijah the prophet was getting old. That's Elijah with a J. And God told him to appoint Elisha with an S, as his successor. And this is that story. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So you see, the two stories are very similar. There is a plow. Elisha says, first, let me go back and say goodbye. And Elijah allows it. But in both stories, there is that sense of no turning back. Like Jesus says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service. He's not saying, don't say goodbye. He's asking you, are you prepared to let go of everything you've ever known, ever done, in order to follow me? We look at what Elisha did. He went back, yes, but he sacrificed his oxen. He burnt his plowing equipment. He took a leap of faith. There was no turning back. Right? And this reminds me of the hymn that we sing at every baptism. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You see, this idea of no turning back, maybe we sometimes romanticize it a bit and think, you know, that's what the missionaries do. Or that's what the pastors do. But there's nothing in this passage that suggests that this person was anything other than a regular disciple. And so I want to make this point clear. God calls all of us, to participate in his mission on earth. So I want to encourage you to start thinking bigger about mission. Like we were exploring at our mission convention this year, mission isn't just about going overseas. It isn't just about working in ministries like Student Life or becoming a pastor. Yes, those things are forms of mission. They're important forms of mission. We shouldn't discredit that. But at its heart, mission is simply about proclaiming the kingdom of God wherever you are. Let's not diminish that. If you have decided to follow Jesus, you have started on that journey. Don't turn back. You can witness the gospel right now where you are, simply by being you. Your life is itself a testimony of what God is doing in you. Don't let it stop there. Desire to move forward on that journey, wherever Jesus leads. Dare to trust his call. You might think, I'm not ready. You might think, his call seems out of place, that it doesn't make any sense. But that's what God does, right? He says, my grace is enough for you because my power is perfected in weakness, he says. It's hard to take that leap of faith. I distinctly remember when I was around 17 that God called me, gave me a calling to be some kind of missionary or pastor or something like that. And I specifically remember the prayer I made after I heard that call. And it will sound very, very familiar. I said, okay, God, but first let me have one more year to finish the things I've always wanted to do. And then I'll obey. Yes, but first let me. And somehow God, in his grace, when I asked for 1 year, he gave me 10. I was around 27 when I finally answered that call. Now, for those of us who knew me when I was 17, you might ask, was I ready? Definitely not. Immature is not strong enough a word to describe the person I was at the time. But maybe it was exactly what I needed to grow. Just because in hindsight, it took me 10 years to become who I am today, doesn't mean that it couldn't have taken less time. Maybe 10 years was the long way around. Who knows? Will you trust me? Is the question that Jesus asks. And so today's passage asks us the question, are you prepared to say yes to Jesus? Are you prepared to give up your sense of security and trust him to hold you up? Are you prepared to make God your first priority and be held accountable to that? And are you prepared to listen to his call, to trust him, and take a leap of faith to obey? Let me finish with this excerpt from Our Daily Bread. It says, though we could never live the perfect life that Jesus lived, he calls us to follow in his path of faith, to set our eyes on him and not look back. There may be sudden forks in the path that are hard to evaluate, and maybe you're at one of those junctures right now. In these moments, know that any steps taken in faith are pleasing to God, even if they don't head in the direction you expect. And know that saying yes to God when he calls is always worth the price it may cost. Yes, saying yes to God when he calls is always worth it, whatever the cost. Thank you for listening.
Are we going into the announcement slides or? Oh, JJ Oyo's gone.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so I did put a little message just to hopefully get some of you guys thinking a little bit more as JJ was speaking. I think there was, you know, a lot of you know, really good points in this morning's sermon. So we'll just move into a time of responsive sharing. Give you guys a couple of minutes just to hopefully, if God has placed something on your heart this morning, to just share with us. And hopefully just as a, you know, body of believers, we can just use this time to encourage each other and to challenge each other. And for me, I think like right off the bat, I think, you know, JJ's questions were definitely challenging and really good reminders. You know, like, especially in, you know, times with COVID, it really has like kind of shaken up, I think, across the world, like what we can put our security in, you know, where people thought, you know, jobs are super secure, XYZ are super secure. I think a lot of things have, like, history has shown us that it can get taken away anytime. And like the only thing that our security can be placed in and should be placed in is God, you know, the one who's always unchanging. And I think, yeah, it can be easy to sometimes lose sight of that. So I think that was a really good reminder for me. And also just, you know, JJ's story about his quiet time journey, about how, like, you should do it in the morning and then you might do it there, and then, oh no, I'll do it then, and then I'll do it then, and then I'll do it then, and then make a minute, it's the next day. And then that happens to me a lot. And especially in lockdown, like, you'd think that it'd be easier to, like, carve out a time because you're just at home all the time, but, like, it hasn't really been. And I think that was a big challenge for me to to get my A into G, so to speak, and put that as, you know, a main priority, as it should be as well. So that's just some sharing on my part, and I will pass to whoever wants to speak. If you want to put your name in the chat, that would be good. Otherwise, I'll just go unmute, and whoever wants to unmute can just speak up. I go for it, Gabby.
So yeah, I really appreciate what kind of Jay Charles has spoken about his testimony today. And I think what really stood out for me was just remembering that what we've been given is not ours. We're just stewards of God, and that everything we should be using it for is to glorify God. So I think sometimes I can feel like, oh, you can run away from God and what he's called you to, but you really can't. It's just kind of like Jonah, you just can't. And do I trust in him? I think is kind of reflecting that God is actually the winning team. So why don't I want to be part of growing his kingdom and being able to spread the word as well? So I think just reminding myself that, you know, God is mighty and and powerful, that I should be part of that winning team and, you know, help him. That's all for me.
Thanks, Gabby. Simon?
Yeah, I think the source of security part that Jonathan talked about really stood out to me. I think just part of I guess our journey in preparing to go to Japan has really revealed this to me. Just partly with, I guess, I think like if you would have asked me at the start of the year, like if I had any, I guess, security or comfort in my home or my job, I would have just been like, oh, if I need to put them aside, then it's easy. But I think it's just in that moment when God really tells you to, when we prayed and found out that we would need to sell our home, then it's like in that moment, then you really realize where your securities lie. And I think for me, it's just, yeah, in that moment, just realizing, oh, I do have some sense of comfort or safety in it. And it did make it a little bit harder to want to let go of it. But yeah, I think God has been faithful through the whole way.
Share a little bit as well. Yeah, I think like for me, like God has definitely challenged me on all three of those points, like my priorities, my security, and what was the last one? Like basically like not looking back. Yeah, and like with the house selling thing, I think part of it is like almost like not looking back, because I think part of the reason why we like should sell it was really just to not always like look back at what like our life used to be like. Yeah, so I think obeying God sometimes is like really hard, but like I think this year I've definitely seen like the fruit of it, and also like his goodness. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Liu family. Dan?
So I think, I guess I'm similar to Karen. I felt, you know, quite convicted about just the 3 points about security, priority, and like kind of your faith in God. And I think, you know, going on the encouraging thing, I think it's, you know, encouraging to see Simon and Karen kind of, from my opinion, you know, that's like giving up your security, right? You're giving up your home, and Simon's giving up his job partially, I think. And then just to, you know, further the kingdom of God, you know, I think is quite an encouraging thing, and that, you know, I think it's really inspiring to see. I think for me, I guess it's more, I guess, related to security. I think everyone has these issues about, you know, letting go of, you know, whether it's your income or, you know, even things like family and whatnot. I think it's just something to think about more and to kind of action, like you were saying, Elam. And I think even our health, right? Like, because our health is so, like with the COVID lockdown, you know, I recently, I'm sure some of you know that, so my grandma's in hospital, and then she was a close contact of a COVID positive patient, an ED or something. And then so she's all right at the moment, but my mum is like, was like sick with her, and she like came in with her to hospital. So she's like the close contact of a close contact. So then now we're like isolating, and she has to isolate 14 days. And I think it's like, obviously, I think it's a low risk because we're all vaccinated, but, you know, having that at the back of your mind, being like, oh, what if she gets COVID, or what if one of us gets COVID, kind of always lingers. And then you hear about all the long-term side effects, and, you know, obviously you can't get unwell still. So I guess still not finding security in your health as well, I guess, is something else. But yeah, no, that was me.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan, for your sharing. And thanks, Jay Chow, for that message. I think it was just really, really challenging. And I'm sure God used that to speak to many of us this morning. Could we move to the next slide and other announcements? Cool. So this is the memory verse for this week or this month. So let's just get, if you're willing to, let's just get everyone to unmute and let's just read it together just so we can hear. I think it's been a while since we've heard like some of each other's voices and all that. So let's just, I'll give you guys some time to unmute if you're happy to, and then I will I'll do a countdown. 3, 2, 1.
You'll see me when you find me, when you see me with all your heart.
Hey, that was actually pretty good. I get really put off by like the slight delay, but I heard like at least like 15 to 20 different voices. That was really nice. Cool. So that's a verse, nice and short and really good verse. Just a reminder that we have a combined baptism service. I'm actually still not quite sure how this is going to happen. It's obviously going to be online. So it's going to be quite exciting because I don't really know how, I don't actually know how Pastor Derek is going to pull this off. So that's like an extra surprise. That'll be cool. So 7th of November, 10 a.m. Baptism combined service. Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, so like I said last week, we are changing to an online format for our Global Impact Week. So the one that's more important here are the Global Impact Nights. They're going to be nights where we have discussion groups for thinking about what mission is and how that relates to us individually. So it's over 3 nights. The 3 sessions are independent, but they're also related to each other. So there will be 1.5-hour sessions where we watch some videos and we answer some questions in small groups. Now, as far as I understand, this is more for the wider church, but Pastor Derek is arranging for these to be translated into Chinese with subtitles. And so these are suitable, literally suitable for everyone. And the groups that we break into, I also have heard that we are going to break into church-based groups if that's what you want, which means that you can be in discussion groups with people you are familiar with. So these nights are not going to be awkward. We're trying to make them as suitable for everyone as possible. So do please mark out these dates in your calendar. They are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday in 2 weeks time in the evenings. If you're available, it'll be awesome to see you there. So please come along.
Cool. Thanks, Jeshao. As usual, there is a prayer and equip online. So just, I don't know if there's any extra announcements for that, but I believe it's on the same link as Zoom link as this one. So we'll go next. And, oh, cool. Pastor William. That's just next week's roster, and I believe that wraps up our announcements for today. Could I get Jay Chow to please? Oh, actually, one more thing is camp has been postponed, as everyone knows, and it has been penciled in. Oh, crap, let's see if I can get the. It has been penciled in for the 18th to 20th of March next year. So I know it's quite far in the future, and I mean, hopefully, all the COVID, it'll be, you know, COVID allowing. But please pencil that in to your calendars for camp. It's going to be a shorter one. So just because of availability in that, it's going to be 3 days and 2 nights. So yeah, that is a little camp announcement. So could I get Jay Chow to wrap us up for this morning?
Cool. So if you go to the next slide, we have, I believe, the Lord's Prayer. We'll just read it together to wrap up this part of our service. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Cool. So that concludes our service for today. Please stick around. We have some really, really cool chats afterwards, usually. So if you're not in a hurry, there's plenty of time to say hi to people. All right. Thanks for joining.